Thank you, Moshe Zedek, for giving me this opportunity once again to share with you perhaps some Divrei Torah on the union of Hanukkah on this special night. May Moshe and the Divrei Torah be an ilu neshama for Rezal, Pastor Yosef, Aleha Shalom. As was mentioned already, Hanukkah is, of course, essentially a time of Hida'o. If we had to sum up in one word, what is the Avoida? How do we encapsulate everything that we're expected to do on Hanukkah? That one word would be Hida'o, thanksgiving. And indeed, the Gemara tells us, and we mention it in Al-Anisim, that these days were established for Lahalil or Lahida'o. The question that bothered me is that undoubtedly a nace was performed for Klal Yisrael, a very significant nace, and we have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for that. There's no question about it. But it's not the only nace that happened to us. And in fact, basically every Yom Tov that we celebrate throughout the year is a commemoration of a nace, a different type of nace, for which we also ought to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we do thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We say Hallel on every Yom Tov and Al Anisim, not only on Hanukkah but on Purim as well. But Hidah doesn't become the central theme of any other Yom Tov. We have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for taking us out of Mitzrayim, and we celebrate, we have a whole Pesach, and on Seder night we say Hallel and we say Nishmas, which is all about thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that is obviously the correct thing to do, but that doesn't become the Avoida of Pesach. Shavuos is a tremendous time of celebration. We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us the Torah. Indeed we do. We say Hallel. But Shavuos is not the Chag of Hidah. Sukkos, we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We say Hallel for putting us in Sukkos in the Midbar. That too is not the holiday of Hidah. Purim as well. We say Ala Nisim. Remarkable Nisim. So why is it only on Hanukkah becomes the Yom Tov of Hidah? And of course it's obvious, when we talk about the Yom Tov of Hidah, it doesn't mean that for 8 days we remember to thank Hashem and then it's back to the office, life as normal. This is supposed to be our inspiration for the entire duration of the year with regard to Hidah. All of our Avodah during the year of Hidah emanates from Hanukkah. So this apparently is the absolute central theme of Hanukkah. We need to understand, undoubtedly a remarkable nace, the Pach Shemen, etc., etc. But why is Hidah the Avodah, the central theme of Hanukkah, as opposed to every other Yom Tov, where we are also commemorating and also thanking for Nisim, and yet Hidah then, as important as it is not the central theme? A second question that can be asked and is asked is that when we say the Al Anisim, we begin with the words Bimei Matisyahu ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol. And the question is asked, why is it important to point out not only Matisyahu's name, but his father as well, Matisyahu ben Yochanan? In the Al Anisim of Purim, for example, it says Bimei Mordechai. Even though in the Megillah, and Esther does list out for us the whole chronology, Mordechai ben Yair ben Kish, there's no mention of that in Al-Anisim. Bimei Mordechai, we all know who Mordechai is. And when it comes to the Al-Anisim in Hanukkah, Bimei Matisyahu ben Yochanan, why is that important? We have to mention Matisyahu and also his father's name. And a third and final question, and this will help us, I think, get into the theme. There is a Medrash, and the Medrash says as follows. If you look in the end of the Torah in Parshas Vezeisa Brocha, Moshe Rabbeinu is giving a Brocha to all the Shvatim. Now what's the Brocha that he gives to Levi? Borech Hashem Cheiloi. Cheil, Chayil, from the word soldier or army, strength. They should be blessed. Ufoyal Yodov Tirtzeh. And his handiwork should be Lerotzen for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does that mean? Which army, which handiwork is being referred to? So Rashi, if you look in Parshas Vezeisa Brocha, says that Moshe Rabbeinu saw that the Chashmonaim and their children would emanate from Shevet Levi. And they would one day have to wage war, both physical and spiritual, against the Yevonim. So that's why Moshe Rabbeinu was davening for them. Borech Hashem Cheiloi, this Shevet, They need a bracha. They should be successful in their battle. Which battle? In the battle against the Yevonim. That's what Rashi says. And if you look in the Medrash there, the Medrash emphasizes the point. The Medrash says, Moshe Zivig, the word Zivig from the word Zug, he matched, espoused Levi Keneged Malchus Yavon. Who is Yavon? Who is the Greeks' nemesis? Who is their arch rival? Shevet Levi. Levi are the big enemy of Yavon. And as we know, Yavon were eventually defeated by the Hashmonaim, and they were Levim and Koyanim. So Levi and Yavon clash. That's what the Medrash says. And interestingly enough, the Medrash says there's a lot of interesting similarities between Yavon and Levi. For example, Levi is the third tribe. Reuven, Shimon, Levi. Yavon is the third Malchus. Interesting connection. It then says, Levi is three letters, Lamed Vav Yud. Yavon, Yud Vav Nun. There's a remarkable comparison and likeness of love of Yavon and also Yavon and Levi. And despite that, they are the arch rivals, which is rather strange. Normally, the more similar you are, perhaps they should be the greatest of friends. That no, Yavon is defeated by Levi. And that's what we need to try and work out tonight, Beis Hashem. Why is it that Levi are the great defeaters? They are the nemesis, the arch rival of Yavon. So we've asked three questions. Number one, why is it that Chanukah is the Chag of Hoidah? Undoubtedly, we thank Hashem for the Nes, but why has that become the Shoyrish of all of our Hoidah throughout the year? Second question is, why is it important to mention Matisyahu ben Yochanan? It's important to make mention of his father's name. And thirdly, what does this mean, that Levi are the one who defeats Yavon? Klal Yisrael beat Yavon. Why does it matter exactly which tribe it was, and why indeed is it Levi's mission to bring about the downfall of Yavon? So, in order to perhaps go in reverse order, let's try and work out a little bit what it was that Yavon stood for, and then we'll see why it was so crucial that Levi were ultimately the tribe that brought about their downfall. It is well known, the Ramban makes mention of this, Yavon's outlook on life. And the Ramban says, Hayavoni, the Greek one. Who's the Greek one? This is a reference to Aristotle, who the founder, as it were, of the Greek ideology and culture, religion. Yavon, Aristotle, denied anything that he as a human being could have no hasoga in, couldn't fathom. Yavon are the nation of Chochmah, undoubtedly. But any Chochmah that was beyond human scope, something which is beyond the self, the Loshon of the Ramban is Asher Hikchish, clean denied. Not he didn't agree with, he just denied that it existed. If I can fathom it, if it is within my human and mental capacity, it exists. And if it isn't, then it doesn't exist. That's what he writes there. It says he and his Talmidim, that was their ideology of life. So they undoubtedly were intelligent and they epitomized Chochmah in the world, but only Chochmah that the human intellect could fathom. Anything beyond that, it's not that they didn't get involved or they disagreed, they simply wiped. It didn't exist. Of course, what are they referring to? Which Chochmah is it that is beyond the human intellect, because it's just beyond any intellect? Of course, that's the Chochmah of the Torah. And the Maral explains, and this is really the yesod of what we want to discuss tonight. He says, undoubtedly, HaMalchus HaZeh Hoyo Boy Chochmah. Let's not make a mistake about this. Yavon with the epitome of Chochmah in the world. But precisely because they epitomized Chochmah, that's why it bothered them so much. Here you have a small little nation championing the cause of Chochmah, which we have no connection to. We deny that it exists. And here they are, studying the Chochmah of Torah. And he writes, he says, that's why, above all, What did they oppose? Their main opposition was to the Torah of Klal Yisrael. And then he writes the following. These lines are so absolutely crucial. Ki ein gibor miskanei elo begibor shekemoisai. A strong person is only jealous of another strong person. If you are selling a particular ware, who's your biggest competitor? Only those selling the same as what you're selling. If you're selling cucumbers and another person selling chairs, there's no competition. Let him do as well as he likes, it doesn't matter. But if my neighbor's also selling cucumbers and he's doing better than me, oh, that rips me to shreds. That I can't stand. That's the morale says. Ein gibor, a mighty person, is only jealous of somebody else who's also mighty because they're in the same league and yet he's doing much better than me. So the morale over here has taught us a tremendous lesson and a huge secret. That what really bothered Yavam, their midah, was the midah of kinah, jealousy. As far as we're concerned, any chokhmah beyond the human intellect doesn't exist. And yet there's a nation over here preaching the opposite, claiming to be the choice and godly nation in the world, being involved in a chokhmah that we have no connection to because we simply deny it exists. And they couldn't take that. There was a kinah, those are the words of the morale, a tremendous jealousy. And that's why they were willing and they tried, eventually unsuccessful, to bring about the downfall of Klal Yisrael, but essentially to bring about the downfall of the Torah studied by Klal Yisrael. What does it mean to be jealous? The morale is teaching us that Yavam were jealous of Klal Yisrael. The jealous person, the person who displays the midah of kinah, as the Mishnah tells us, has a very simple outlook on life. Shali, shali. Shalcha, shali. Whatever is mine, is mine. Whatever is yours, is in fact also mine. In fact, everything's mine. Why is that the outlook of the Makane, the one who has this middle of jealousy? Because as far as the jealous person is concerned, I am the only person who exists, and nobody else matters. And therefore everything that exists around myself has to be mine. Shali, shali, shalcha, shali. There's no me and you. Beyond myself, there's this big, enormous ani, myself, that exists, and beyond that, there is nobody else who exists. So there's nothing that's shali shali, the shalcha shalcha. There is no shalcha. There is no someone else. I am the center of the universe and nobody exists besides for me. And if we think about it, that is in fact the whole sheirish of Yavam. What did Yavam say? That if there's a chokhma which we can fathom, then we'll agree that it exists. And what happens if there's a chokhmah that's beyond human scope, we can't fathom, then it doesn't exist. In other words, they denied the existence of anything beyond themselves. Of any person, of any nation, of any intellect beyond themselves. What existed in the world? Yavam. That's where it begins, and that's where it ends. Now, I heard this year an insight. For those who have learned Bava Kamma recently, a tremendous insight. Everybody knows that there's a widely quoted medrash. The Yavonim, the Greeks, it says that they wrote on the keren hashoel, on the horn of an ox. What did they write there? Klal Yisrael, ein lochem chelek velekei Yisrael. Don't claim that you're the godly nation and you're connected to God, because you're not. And there is much discussion, why was it the shoel? What's the animal of the shoel? But I've never really heard pointed out, until this year, maybe others have, put the shoel aside for the moment, what about the keren? Why did they write it on the keren of the shoel, of the horn of the shoel? And this year I heard for the first time a most incredible insight. Because if you learn Bava Kamma, the very first opening mishnah in Bava Kamma, and it tells us that there are different types of mazikin. There is keren, shoir, regal. Keren is the horn. Shoir is an ox, and regel is the feet of the animal. So an animal can inflict damage. We're not talking about the human being. That's a different type of mazik. An animal can inflict damage in several different ways. Either by eating somebody else's produce, that's shame. By regel, trampling all over it. Or keren, which is by goring somebody else. So listen to this now. The Vilna Gaon explains keren, shoir, and regel, those three types of damages all correspond to the three main midos ro'os in the world. What are the three prime midos ro'os? So we know the Mishnah tells us there is kino, taiva, v'kovoid. Kino is jealousy, taiva is lust, and kovoid is honor. So the Vilna Gaon says, shame, an animal eats. Well, that's easy to work out. Obviously that corresponds to taiva, to lust, the animal eats. So shame is taiva. Regel, trampling all over somebody else, that's also easy to work out. That's obviously kovoid. I promote myself and I stamp all over everybody else. And what's keren? So Vilna Gaon says that keren corresponds to kino, jealousy. Because the Gemara tells us in the beginning of Bava Kamma that what's unique about the keren is ein hano'o lehezekri. There's no benefit. An animal gores another one. He doesn't feel better for it. So why am I goring? Because I'm jealous. As the Masilis Yeshorim says, if you think about it, a jealous person is consumed all day long in his jealousy, looking at others, what they have and what they don't have. What does he gain from that? Absolutely nothing. That's keren. In which case, it's phenomenal insight that I heard. If Yavon are jealous of Klal Yisrael, that's why they write on the keren of the shoir. The keren, they deliberately chose the keren because keren represents jealousy. They gain nothing by that. But they cannot stand it. They're looking at Klal Yisrael, the chokhmah of the Torah, the nation that studies this tremendous chokhmah which we have no connection to. Why do we have no connection to? Because we deny that it exists. Why do we deny that it exists? Because anything beyond ourselves simply doesn't exist. And they were so consumed with jealousy, that's represented by the keren. You know, there is this wonderful story I once heard. The great tzaddik, the great Thomas Chacham in Belgium, Reb Chaim Kreizwit, Zecher Tzaddik Levracha. Somebody once came to him, as well there are many Jews up till this very day in Antwerp are in the diamond trade. So somebody once came to the Rav of the town, Reb Chaim, and said to Reb Chaim, he says, I don't get it. I don't understand what's going on. I'm a hard-working individual. I have a store. I sell my diamonds. And I know that my friend, I see he's got a store right across the road from my store, and he's doing twice as well as me. I can't take it. I can't understand it. Whatever I'm managing to earn, he's earning double. I can't get it. I don't understand. So Reb Chaim said to him, I know. Probably he's open twice as long as you're open. His opening hours are double the amount of your opening hours. So he said to Reb Chaim, I thought of that. And I checked and I went. And I looked to see when he opens and when he goes and when he comes and when he davens and when he goes. It's exactly the same. Same working hours. So Reb Chaim says, oh, I know. Probably he's got in his store twice as many diamonds as you do. So it's very simple. Twice as many, so twice as much parnasa. I thought of that as well. And he says, I went to it and I looked. I went to his store and I counted everything in his store and I checked every diamond. Same amount as me. Doesn't make sense. So Reb Chaim says, I know, maybe it's the same amount of diamonds, but obviously his are double the quality. Maybe that's why he's earning twice as much as you. I thought of that as well. I opened every drawer, I checked the make, I checked the label, I took my magnifying, I spent hours there looking. It's all the same. Says Reb Chaim, I've worked it out. He is managing one store. You are managing two. Yeah. Look at your store and you seem to spend more time at somebody else's store. Yeah. You're so consumed with jealousy. So it's very simple. You're managing two stores. He's only managing one. So you've got half the time. That's why he's earning double. But that's the yesoid of the midah of kina. That's the keren. Ein hano'o lehezekoi. Yobon couldn't take it. They couldn't stand it. There is this nation studying Torah, the chochma of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we deny that it exists. In the Hebrew language, there is another word, very similar, in fact almost identical to the word kino. Kino means jealous, and that is kanos. Kanos. When Pinchas went and he killed Zimri and Cosby, and the Torah says, "Bekamoi es kinosi." What does that mean? He was jealous? Remarkably, in English, it's also very similar. Kino is the one who is jealous, and then the kanoi is the one who is zealous. Jealous and zealous. Kino, kane. There must be a connection. There's no coincidences in the Jewish language. And the answer is, and this is really the aside, I think, of what we'd like to share tonight. Somebody who has the middah of kino, let's translate the word kino, so we call it jealousy. Kino from the word comes from the word to be koina, to acquire. The one who has the middah of kino, as far as he's concerned, everything is acquired. To who? Yeah. To me, because there is nobody else. Everything is konui to me. Everything belongs to me. Everything is mine. The one who stands up for the honor of Hashem says, the kino, the jealousy is a tremendous middah, you just misdirected it. Everything is acquired to Hashem. So it's coming from the same sheirish, that everything belongs to one source. Just misdirected. The one who has the middah of kino says, it all belongs to me. The one who is a kanoi says, everything is konui. Everything is acquired to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the koine HaKoil. Everything is acquired to him. Therefore, we understand that the middah of kino and the middah of kanoos, there is no coincidence. It really is indeed the same word, because it's the same sheirish and it's the same middah. Everything is konui. Everything is acquired to one source. Everything is acquired to one source. Who was the kanoi of the Torah? The kanoi of the Torah was, of course, Pinchas. He defied the world, took the law into his own hands, and he killed Cosby and Zimri. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Kanoi es kinosi. Doesn't mean he was jealous. It means he stood up for my honor, and he declared that everything is konui, is acquired to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, the Gemara tells us that when he was about to kill Cosby and Zimri, the Malachim weren't so happy about this. And they wanted to perhaps prevent him. And the Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, don't touch Pinchas. Leave Pinchas. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu describes him, listen to these words, as the Kanoi ben Kanoi. The zealot, the son of the zealot. What does that mean, the zealot, the son of the zealot? Who was Pinchas the son of? We know Pinchas. Ben Elazar, ben Aaron, HaKohen. He comes from the tribe of Kohen, the Levian. So Rashi says, indeed, because Shevet Levi, from which Pinchas descends, they are the Kanoim. Shevet Levi are the Kanoim. They're the ones, when it came to the story with Dino, as we just read a couple of weeks ago, they were the ones who took action. They are the Kanoim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, leave Pinchas. He comes from Shevet of Kanoim. And indeed, we find Kino, Kanoos, in one other place. When Klal Yisrael were serving Avodah Zorah, the Novi in Malachim says that Eliyahu HaNovi, who some say in fact is Pinchas, but even if he isn't, he's certainly a Kohen. The Torah writes, the Novi writes, Kanoi es Kinosi. Kanoi es Kinosi. Kanoi es Kinosi. What does that mean, Kanoi es Kinosi? He sought my vengeance. He was a zealot on behalf of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because when there is Avodah Zorah in Klal Yisrael, as there was in the times of Eliyahu HaNavi, and in the times of Pinchas, what is Avodah Zorah? Avodah Zorah is, as it were, trying to declare that maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not in charge after all, and it could be other forces. So when you stand up and you're a Kanoi, what are you in fact saying? Give back make sure the order is restored and everything is kolui to HaKadosh Baruch Hu once again. There were those who were doubting it. Maybe we could serve another force in the world. Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not the only force. Chas v'shalom. Everything is kolui, the kanoi. Everything is kolui back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I think we have indeed now answered the third and final question. We asked, why is it that the rival, the great nemesis of the Yevonim, Shevet Levi and the Hashmonaim? And the answer is because Hashmonaim, who come from Shevet Levi, they are the Kanoim. And Yevon were the ones who are the middle of Kinor. They were jealous. So how do you defeat the one who has the middle of Kinor with the middle of Kanos? So we say to Yevon, whilst you claim that everything is Konui to you, we declare, Mi Lashem Elai. Everything is Konui to the Rabbeinu Shalom. Therefore, it must be Shevet Levi, no other Shevet. Shevet Levi, that's their Avodah. That was the original tribe of Levi. That was Pinchas who came from Levi. That was Eliyahu Kohen who came from Levi. And ultimately, the Hashmonaim, they are the Kanoim. They are the tribe who stand up in this world and they declare that everything is Konui, is acquired, not to us, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And anybody who displays the midah of jealousy and declares the opposite, that everything is konui to us, we will be with the nefesh to defeat that ideology. And that's why Levi ultimately bring about the defeat of Yavon. So why must we make mention in the Alam Nisim of Matisyo ben Yoichan? So listen to this most remarkable Reb Tzadok HaKohen, one of the great Hasidic thinkers. Rav told us, the Gemara tells us, Rav once said the following, I think this is famous. Rav says, every day there is a baskoil, there is a divine voice that announces the following. Kol ha'olam kulon. All of the world is sustained by who? Chanina b'ni. Who's this Chanina? Rav Chanina ben Doisa. Rav Chanina ben Doisa is keeping the world going. It's in his zechus that we're all being sustained. Now, who said this statement? Rav. Rav is an Amora. Chanina ben Doisa was a Tana. They didn't live at the same time at all. So how does that make any sense that Rav said it's in the zechus of Chanina ben Doisa that we're being sustained? Chanina ben Doisa wasn't alive at the time. Says Reb Tzadok HaKohen the most phenomenal insight. He says the word Chanina ben Doisa. What does the word Chanina mean? Chain, chinam, free. Chanina ben Doisa is the Tana who most recognized that everything I have is a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I don't deserve everything. Anything. That's the word Chanina. Chain, chinam. It's all a free gift. I haven't earned it. I don't deserve it. It's not mine. It's not konui to me. Chanina. It's all a free gift from the one to whom it's really konui. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says Reb Tzadok HaKohen, in every generation there is a Chanina. Not the original Reb Chanina ben Doisa, he passed away. There exists in every generation somebody who exudes that middle, who personifies this understanding of Chanina, that everything I have is chinam, is free, and I have to be overwhelmingly appreciative of that. And it's in the zechus of that Chanina, not necessarily of Chanina ben Doisa, of the Chanina of that generation that we're being sustained. So he says, now let's come back to Alam Nisim. Bimei Matisyahu ben Yoichanon. What does the word Matisyahu mean? Matas, to give. Matas Yahu, Hashem gives. Matisyahu's very name clearly demonstrates his outlook on life. Matis Yahu, it's a gift from God. The son of Yoy Chonon. Yoy is Hashem, Chonon, it's Chinon. This is the tribe that clearly demonstrate this ideology, and that's why his father's name was mentioned. Matis Yahu ben Yoichan. It's in their names. Everything is a Matas Yahu, a gift from God. Everything is Yoichanon. Hashem has granted to me. Why? This is Shevet Levi. Everything is Konri to Hashem. It's not Konri to me. It doesn't belong to me. I don't deserve it. It all belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, the Gemara tells us, fascinating thing. Anybody who has a dream about Hanina, Hananya, or Yoichanon. That's what the Gemara says. Anybody dreams about any of these three people, Hananya, Hanina, and Yoichanon, it says, Nisei Nisim, Naaseloi. It will be Zeicher to miraculous miracles. What does that mean, Nisei Nisim? Can you have non-miraculous miracles? Why Nisei Nisim? What's this double loshen? So Rashi says, because in Hanina, there's two nuns. In Yoichanon, there's two nuns. And Hananiah has two nuns. So, two nuns, Nisei Nisim. What does that mean? What does that mean? Shri Tzadok HaKohen explains there. There are those of us who think that, what? There are miracles. And that's the domain of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But then I step into the picture. And there's what's called teva, and I work, and I earn, and I deserve, and this belongs to me. But there were those who had two nuns in their name, and they realized that nes and teva, it's all miraculous. That's what it means, miraculous miracles. Everything is miraculous, and who better personified this than Hanina ben Doisa? We all know the famous story. His daughter comes to him and says, I've just lit vinegar. And he says, fine. Whoever said that oil can stay alight, vinegar can also stay alight as well. How can you do that? You're not allowed to rely on a miracle. In Hanina ben Doisa's house, there was no difference between miracle and not miracle. It's everything is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything belongs to him, and everything is performed by him. That's what it means, Hanina and Yoichanon. So, in conclusion, if we come back to our original question, we asked, why is it that Levi are the great arch rivals of Yavon? Because Yavon are the middle of Kino, the nation of Kino. And Hashmonoim and Levi are the Kanoim. Whilst they declare that everything was Konri to us, and we deserve everything, and everything belongs to us, and anything beyond me doesn't exist, come along Shevet Levi and they say the exact opposite is true. That's misdirected Kino. Kanos! Kanoi ben Kanoi, everything is acquired to Hashem. Why make mention of Matis Yohu ben Yoichanan? That's this wonderful pre-tzadik. Reb Tzadok HaKohen, Matis Yohu, Yoichanan. This is Shevet Levi. That's what Levi symbolizes in this world. This recognition that everything is belonging, everything belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and everything we have is Chanan, Yoichanan, Chanina. It's all a gift. So we began by asking, why is this the Yom Tov of Hidor? Undoubtedly, there's a tremendous miracle for which we have to be eternally grateful, but this encapsulates the whole Yom Tov. But I think in light of what we said, we now understand. What does it mean, Hidor? What does it mean to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu? We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu every day. We say the Bracha of Moedim, but it's preceded. It's preceded by the Bracha of Ritzei, which talks about the Avoidah. So we first talk about the Avoidah, and then we thank. Why in that order? So the Maral explains, what is Avoidah all about? You take something, a korban, which you might well have worked hard to earn, and you give it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything is acquired to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It all belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ah, you've recognized that? That everything now belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I'm bottled, toffle, negligible compared to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the next obvious step is therefore to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You can only thank once you've initially recognized where it's all coming from. Why would I thank somebody else who never gave me something? If he's given me a gift, I thank him. But I've first got to recognize and be mavara for myself, where is this coming from? That's therefore the series in davening. First it's the Avoidah. For us, it's the musag of the korban, where I give away and I makir that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the source of all. The next obvious step is Moed HaManachnu Loch, in which case we understand that if Hanukkah, that is the whole yesod of Hanukkah, when Hanukkah is the Yom Tov of Hidah, it's not merely we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the nes that he performed. It's much more deep-rooted than that. On Hanukkah, we're celebrating Sheva Levi. On Hanukkah, we're celebrating Matis Yahu, Yoy Hanam, that everything is konui to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and everything we have in our day-to-day lives all comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, Mamela, it becomes the Chag of Haidah. That's the obvious consequence. We thank for Kriyas Yomsef, and we thank for Sukkot, and we thank for Purim, and we thank for everything. But where does that all come from? It comes from the one Yom Tov of the year where the Avodah is to recognize Chashmonoim, Yoichanon, Matisyo. Everything we have comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore we thank. So it's not just a very limited, small thanks. Thank you for the nes of the Pach Shemen. While we do that, the Pach Shemen is not relevant, as it were, to our day-to-day life that once happened. No, we've been moided to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in everything that happens in our day-to-day life today. Tov Shin Pei, not only what happened in the Beis HaMikdash. This is the Yom Tov of Haidah. This is the Yom Tov of Haidah. You know, somebody once came to the Chazon Ish, said it in Yiddish. So I'll say it in Yiddish, but I'll try and translate. But it works best in Yiddish. In Yiddish, you have a baby, for example, so you say, Es kumt mir a mazel tov. Es kumt mir, I get a mazel tov. So somebody came to the Chazon Ish and says, Es kumt mir a mazel tov. I get a mazel tov. And the Chazon Ish says, Es kumt dir garnished. You get nothing. As if, this is what's coming to me. Very, very, very fortunate. In Ivrit also, you say, Magia li mazel tov. Magia li. Magia lecha klum. This is really the estate of Hanukkah. I have the great fortune that I have a mazel tov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and his great compassion and mercy has blessed me with whatever it may be, so I'm eternally grateful. Es kumt mir mazel tov. It's coming to me, I deserve it. That's Yovan. Yovan had this midah of kina. Hakoil konri, everything is acquired to me. Shali shali, v'shalcho shali. Because everything beyond me simply doesn't exist. A very simplistic outlook on life. The Chashmonoim, Shevet Levi, Kanoi ben Kanoi, they taught us the opposite is true. Hakoil konu, you're right, everything comes to one source. But just switch it around. Not to us. Everything is Yoichanon. Everything is Matis Yohu. This therefore becomes the Avodah of Hanukkah. And therefore, as we mentioned in the beginning, for 8 days we concentrate, we try and pay extra attention, not just on the Alanisim, but on the Moedim. On the Moedim, we all have so much to be grateful for. But the Avodah of Hanukkah can really only be worth it if we're able to continue that afterwards. As we always say, we don't want just to go through Hanukkah. We want Hanukkah to go through us. We want to come on the other side of Hanukkah with this day-to-day recognition. What is it that Shevet Levi taught us? What is it that I'm saying every day? Moedim Anachnu Loch. Not just mumbling the words. Moedim Anachnu Loch, this day-to-day recognition. I thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for my health and my wealth and my family and my parnos and everything it is that I have to be grateful for. This is the Avodah of Hanukkah. So really, in brief summary, Shevet Levi must be the nemesis of Yovan. Yovan dictates everything is konui to me, the midah of kino, and the Levim say the exact opposite. Kanos, everything is konui to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Matis Yohu ben Yoichanan. Matis Yohu, a godly gift. Yoichanan, which has been granted to me for free by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the great heritage and legacy of Shevet Levi. And therefore, that's why the Yom Tov of Hanukkah is the Yom Tov of Haidah. Not only for the nes of the Pach Shemen, but rather this eternal, constant recognition that everything we have comes from the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. We don't deserve anything, and everything we receive is a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. May we indeed be zeichah to take the lessons of Shevet Levi to be able to internalize them, to say a moedim with more kavona, and that way we'll be zoicha to carry that through throughout the course of the year. We should be zoicha, k'moy she'asalam nisim l'avoseinu, so too, b'yomim ahein, and also b'zman hazeh.